Welcome to this edition of the Mushroom Link audio article series. This podcast is based on an article from Mushroom Link issue 5, and it can be accessed through our website mushroomlink.com.au. Today we're talking about storing chemicals safely. Of course, the chemical shed may not be the most glamorous, action-packed, or exciting place on the farm, but it can certainly give a strong impression as to how the business is run. A well-kept, clean, and orderly chemical shed suggests a clean and orderly business. On the other hand, an auditor encountering a dirty, disorganized shed may well expect other aspects of the food safety system to be likewise. However, compared to some other horticultural businesses, mushroom farms are light chemical users. There might be some herbicide to keep the weeds down around the property, insecticide to manage flies, and a few specific products for weed molds, and of course, salt for disease management. However, it is cleaners and sanitizers where many farms will have a larger volume of chemicals. High standards of farm hygiene are not only essential to keep mushrooms free of human pathogens, but also to control pests and diseases. Keeping farm equipment and facilities clean and sanitized is clearly core business. As a result, it can be easy to become casual about cleaners and sanitizers. I mean, most people have a bottle of bleach in their laundry, some tablets for the dishwasher, alcohol-based hand sanitizer somewhere around the house. However, in their more concentrated industrial form, all of these can be powerful chemicals. Cleaning agents such as truck wash and other detergents act by lowering the surface tension of water. This allows it to bind more easily with dirt and grease. Such products can be either alkaline or acidic. Some products can contain formaldehyde. So care should always be taken to avoid contact with eyes, mouth, and skin. Most sanitizers work by reacting with organic compounds. Organic compounds include human pathogens such as E. coli, but also fungal spores like Trichoderma, compost, algae, human skin, eyes, lungs, they are also organic compounds. While these sanitizers are safe once diluted, in their concentrated form, they can adversely affect the human body very fast indeed. They can also be corrosive to equipment, especially at those high concentrations. So some sanitizers, such as hydrogen peroxide and calcium hypochlorite granules, are powerful oxidizers. They can release toxic gases if they contact other chemicals, as well as potentially increase the risk of a fire or explosion. Other sanitizers are corrosive. The sodium hypochlorite, which is bleach, is a corrosive chemical. Concentrated bleach can burn the skin, causing red welts, while inhaling the vapor can burn the eyes and throats. Any contact with the eyes definitely requires urgent medical attention. Some people are allergic to chlorine or can develop allergies after repeated exposure. Even dilute sodium hypochlorite bleach reacts with the skin. This is the soapy feeling you get after contacting bleach, and it occurs due to a reaction between the bleach and the natural oils on your skin, and they create a form of soap. So like many cleaning agents, sodium hypochlorite is highly alkaline. Contact with an acid is going to release poisonous chlorine gas. This can also burn eyes, throat, and lungs. It also generates heat, leading to the potential for fire or explosion. Simply adding water to concentrated bleach can trigger the formation of chlorine gas. This is why concentrated bleach should always be added to water. Never add water to bleach. Sodium hypochlorite should be stored below 20 degrees in airtight containers, as high storage temperatures can lead to release of oxygen. This causes a buildup of pressure and increases the possibility of spills or leakage. It's important to ensure the shed where they are stored is well ventilated and weatherproof, with bunding around the edge of the store to capture any leaks or spills. The volume contained within the bunding should be sufficient to retain the whole volume of the largest container stored, such as, for example, a 20-litre drum. Liquid bleach should never be stored above dry products, such as calcium hypochlorite granules, which is swimming pool chlorine. Another sanitizer likely to be found on many mushroom farms is Sanimush. Sanimush is registered for a wide range of purposes, including sanitizing growing trays, walls, and floors. Sanimush is a mixture of iodine, agents to make iodine soluble in water, and 85% phosphoric acid. Iodine is a potent sanitizer against most microbes, including bacteria, yeasts, and molds. However, it's most effective when combined with an acid. So this is why the phosphoric acid reduces the pH to approximately 3. It is therefore important not to mix Sanimush with an alkaline cleaner or bleach, such as sodium hypochlorite. Quaternary ammonium compounds, QUATs, may also be sometimes found on mushroom farms. These are highly effective at killing bacteria, fungi, and viruses. They can disinfect water and control algae. They are included in many household detergents and many all-purpose cleaners. While they can be used very safely, it is important that they are never ingested. They're poisonous if absorbed by the skin, inhaled as fumes, or through eye exposure. Equipment sanitized with QUATs should be washed down with clean water afterwards. Both QUATs and Sanimush must be stored below 30 degrees and out of direct sunlight. It is also important that sanitizers are kept separately to pesticides and other chemicals, including fertilizers and nutritional amendments. Ideally, they should be separated by a wall within the shed or stored in a different shed altogether. So let's talk about what constitutes a good chemical shed. The shed has to be lockable. It must have appropriate signage, such as flammable or toxic. It should be fire and weather resistant so as to keep products away from direct sunlight and as cool as possible. Conversely, it has to be well ventilated, preferably with cross flow, as well as a roof exhaust vent. The floor needs to be bunded with enough capacity to contain either the full drum of liquid that's stored within it or 25% of the total volume. A good shed also has strong metal shelving, so that drums don't need to be piled on top of each other, but can be stored safely. Inside and around the shed, there should be an emergency plan with contact numbers, a fire extinguisher, spill kit with absorbent material, as well as a broom, mop, and other cleaning items. Most importantly, there must be a first aid kit, a safety shower, and an eye wash station. In the office, there should be a file containing safety data sheets for all stored chemicals. These should never be stored in the shed. They must be kept separate. There should also be an extra copy of the emergency plan with contact numbers. So as we already stated, sanitizers must be kept separately from other chemicals. You also need to separate flammable materials from non-flammables. It's also good to keep them away from materials that burn easily, like oil or cardboard. Always place liquids below solid products, such as granules. The shed should be organized so that herbicides, insecticides, and fungicides are placed on different shelves or racks, preferably labeled to make it easy for staff to find the correct product. Products should always be stored in their original packaging with the label intact. Never decant them into unlabeled containers, especially ones that were previously used for food or drink. If you have any highly toxic or flammable chemicals, they must be stored in a purpose-built metal cabinet for safety. A regular stocktake is important to identify and remove products that are past their use-by date or which have packaging which is starting to rust or leak. It's also useful to know what's in there and how much, so that more can be ordered when it's needed. Apart from storing chemicals, there also needs to be a good mixing area. This specific area should be set up for mixing chemicals inside the shed or next to it. Designing this properly will make everyday tasks faster and easier, such as, for example, mixing solution to replenish foot baths or preparing spray bottles with sanitizer. The area used for mixing chemicals needs to be covered, well ventilated, but not too breezy. You don't want to be pouring chemicals in a blustery wind. That would be a recipe for disaster. The mixing bench needs to have an impervious surface, such as metal or glass, rather than a wooden surface which could absorb spilled chemicals. It should be well separated from the packing area and away from drains or waterways. It also needs to be equipped with clearly labelled measuring containers for each product used regularly. You'll need a calibrated balance with protective cling wrap or foil. That way it can be easily changed if spillage occurs. The area should be well lit and have personal protective equipment, PPE, that includes goggles, rubber gloves, and a washable apron. If volatile and hazardous chemicals are being prepared, you'll also need a respirator. There also must be cleaning wipes in case of spillage. It is clearly essential that staff involved in mixing chemicals and applying them are properly trained. Providing clear written instructions on dilution rates and mixing is the best way to ensure that chemicals are used properly. For example, the instructions for mixing up a spray with 200 parts per million bleach could state something like 1. Put on gloves and safety glasses. 2. Fill backpack unit with water to the 10 litre mark. 3. Carefully measure 32 mils of bleach from a drum using the yellow funnel and a small measuring jug labelled bleach only. Add the bleach to the backpack unit. Then fill the backpack unit with water to the 20 litre mark. Finally, secure the cap. This can be combined with a full work instruction sheet so that staff understand what to do if a spill occurs or if they have accidental contact with the concentrated chemical. It's essential that they don't eat, drink, or smoke while mixing sanitizers or pesticides. They should also try to mix only what is needed. Unused chemical needs to be disposed of safely. It can't just be tipped down the drain. In some locations, empty drums of regularly used products, such as bleach, can be recycled directly. However, most containers will need to be triple washed before collection if they're going under the Drum Muster program. Drum Muster will not accept containers that still have residues on the inside or outside, including even the thread and cap. The best time to rinse the empty container is when preparing the same chemical. That way, the rinse water used can be added to the spray tanks during mixing. In summary, good hygiene is the number one defense against mushroom diseases and also ensuring that all produce is safe to eat. While physical measures such as cookout are very important, thorough cleaning followed by sanitation is essential to keep crops healthy and clean. However, detergents and sanitizers need to be treated with respect. It is very easy to become complacent, but these are powerful chemicals, especially in their concentrated form. It is important that they are stored correctly. This ensures that they don't present a danger to staff, as well as that they are preserved in an active condition. Sanitizers and detergents need to be kept separated from pesticides, such as those used to control flies or weed molds. Providing proper equipment and facilities to store and mix chemicals, as well as clear instructions to staff, will ensure they are mixed and applied correctly. A well-kept chemical shed can therefore keep staff safe and the auditor happy. This podcast was brought to you by the Mushroom Link Project, funded by Hort Innovation using the Mushroom Research and Development Levy and funds from the Australian Government.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Mushroom Link audio article series. If you would like to read this article, you can access it on the Mushroom Link website at www.mushroomlink.com.au and go to the magazine tab. Storing chemicals safely is from the third issue of the magazine, where you can read about alternative casing, developments in mushroom harvesting, and more. If you want to keep up to date with all things Mushroom Link, sign up to the monthly bulletin to hear about R&D news, new webinars, and future editions of the magazine.